In today's gospel, our Lord tells us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What's the sword for? Grace asked me this the other afternoon during our children's confirmation recollection. It's after lunch, by the time I get to the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and the children having had something to eat and having very patiently sat in church for a long time and then had some chance to play outside in the warm weather. Well, at that point, the children are usually getting a little bit sleepy, and to liven things up for our final talk about the seven gifts, I usually bring out my sword, which is one of those Franklin Mint replicas given to me years ago after my consecration as a bishop by some dear friends in Detroit. No doubt as a reminder, the sword of truth. Well, what I do is this. I bring the sword out, and I set it on the communion rail, and I don't say anything about it at all, but it gets the children's attention. Now, Grace is a quiet child, and as a rule, she has nary a word to say, not even when she's called on. She generally will keep her counsel. So when Grace raised her hand the other afternoon, right in the middle, I think we were in piety or in knowledge, I thought to myself, this must be important. Actually, I was thinking she probably needed to go to the bathroom or something like that. But I called on her, and she asked, "What's the sword for?" And then I said, "Well, we're not quite there yet. We have to be patient. But when we get to the last gift, when we get to fortitude, then I'll tell you about the sword. I like to use it with the little ones to demonstrate the story of the soldier martyr of the Vendée, the great André Ripoche, who fought and died against the revolutionaries of his day to defend the church and the king." Well, I brought the sword out again this morning, and you might well wonder, what's the sword for? Well, this morning I want you to consider the sixth step to peace of heart, which is connected with a prayer from the Psalms, in matutinis, interficiam omnes peccatores terre. In the morning, I will slay all the sinners of the earth. The saints understand these words of King David as referring to sin and any habits or attachment of sin to sin in our own heart. What's the sword for? The sword brings about peace. Our Lord gives it to us along with his own Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and he gives this peace not as the world gives it. It's connected with a heart which is not troubled anymore, nor is it afraid. This is a special work of the Holy Ghost in our hearts by sanctifying grace. It is one of the 12 fruits of the Holy Ghost. It has three characteristics. It is a state of soul at rest with God and with oneself and with one's neighbor. It is the absence of all solicitude and anxiety. It is such a great thing to possess peace of heart that it is surely worth any sacrifice on our part to attain it. This is where the sword comes in. The sword is meant by God and by the church to promote peace. Sometimes you have to wield your sword. A great deal of anxiety in our lives is occasioned by guilt. And you could speak against guilt all you want to, and try to put the blame on Mother Church or the old ways or the Catholic Church unchanged. But she does not cause guilt. Guilt occurs when there exists that tension building up because of that internal struggle, the tug of war, if you will, between right and wrong, right here within the heart. We are born with a sense of right. It is reinforced powerfully by our religious training, by our prayers, by sermons and sacraments and the rest. We know what we should be doing. The trouble is we feel that we want to do something else. There is, St. Paul says, a law in my members so that I do not the things that I would. Flesh has declared all in out war on the Spirit. And although the Spirit is willing, and after all, our Lord himself says, the flesh is weak, still, nevertheless, the flesh usually wins. This terrible tug of war. And with it, anxiety comes in our own private agony in the garden. For, as Job says in the Old Testament, that man who suffered so much, who hath ever resisted him and had peace? It is the Holy Spirit who says, surrender. All resistance is useless. Almighty God does not want us to worry. He would not have a one of his children to be anguished, to suffer anxiety. Indeed, do you remember the epistle for the pink Sunday before Christmas, Gaudete? St. Paul says to the Philippians, be nothing solicitous. This is not a counsel from our commanding officer. It is a command from our King. It is not a mere suggestion. It is the inevitable strategy that we must follow to win this little war within and to keep peace. Don't worry, our Lord says further. He sketches it out in the gospel, leaving very little wiggle room. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothing. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your life. To overcome anxiety, we need to obey God in two ways. Stop that long tug of war between conscience and flesh within you before you lose definitively. And you know what happens to a loser in a tug of war? You get dragged through the mud. By so doing, you can eliminate a tremendous amount of tension if you choose the right and not the wrong. What's the sword for? In the morning, I will slay all the sinners of the earth. In a word, all of my sins and all of my habits and all of my temptations, all of them I will do away with. Start every day by getting out the sword and make that resolution, sinful as you are, you with the sword of the Spirit will do a little cutting away before you start your day. Make that conscious decision to obey Almighty God, and then add to it that, to boot, you're not meant to worry. Easier said than done, yes, but it's the saying of it that counts so much. That is to say that you must, the Holy Ghost inspires this in you. He breathes it into you. You must declare yourself free. You have to realize you can say no. No to greed, or to avarice, to anger and revenge. No to lust. You have to tell yourself you do not need to overeat, or to overdrink, or underdress. You do not need to answer that comment. You do not need to respond, at least not now, to this situation so overwhelming. You don't need to. You need to obey God. You belong to Him. He sealed you with His mark and His name on your forehead and in your soul. And you have a sword. Now, go ahead and use it. Make the decision. Peace. To continue to fret is a direct denial of God's commandment. What's the sword for? Well, now you know. The sword is for our peace. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.